to Dr. W. You gave me those fire things, then I got out, and I'm glad of it. Doctor, did you get out after the last treatment?
S.P.
You call that a treatment? Doctor, if you got out of that lady, I should call it a good treatment.
S.P.
You don't know how I suffered from that fire, especially the shooting. You are the one that gave me that fire, and I don't like you. Doctor, I had to give the lady those treatments to get you out.
S.P.
You think that devil machine is a little god? You want me to go where?
Doctor, to the spirit world.
S.P. Where is that? Doctor, a place where the discarnated spirits go to get understanding. You have lost your physical body but do not understand it, and you have been bothering that lady.
Mrs. B.
Mrs. B. When once I get you and the others out, I shall keep the door closed, and closed so tight that none of you can get in. Doctor, think yourself free and you will not be in a prison. Mortals cannot travel by thought, but spirits can. You are invisible to us. You are temporarily using the body of another. This body belongs to my wife.
S.P.
You have told me that before. Doctor, can't you see you are in a strange condition?
Mrs. B.
Do you know Maggie McKinn? Another spirit whose presence Mrs. B. had clairaudiently been aware of.
S.P.
Yes, and I know Mary too. Doctor, how old were you when you passed out of your body? Can you recall something of your past?
S.P.
I remember being out riding and the horses ran away, then everything became dark, and since then I do not seem to remember much. Doctor, do you know what year it is?
S.P.
I don't have to answer you. Are you a lawyer or a judge? Who are you?
Doctor, I'm a fireman.
Can you realize that it is 1920?
S.P.
It doesn't bother me that much. Snapping fingers, I don't care. Doctor, I thought you were anxious to get out of your trouble.
S.P.
I wanted to get out of that prison, and now I feel better than I have for years.
Mrs. B.
You ought to thank Doctor for getting you out.
S.P.
That man ought to be arrested for giving those shots. It made you feel like your head was going to the dickens. Doctor, can you see any of your friends here?
S.P.
There are two Indians, one is a big fellow, and one is a girl, and there is a lady with curly hair and light blue eyes.
Spirits.
Doctor, does the Indian girl answer to the name of Silver Star? One of Mrs. Wickland's guides.
S.P.
Yes. Doctor, these spirits will help you to progress in the spirit life.
S.P.
There's one thing sure, I'm going to heaven, and not to the other place. I went to church and was a good woman. Doctor, those persons whom you see are spirits like yourself. We do not see them.
S.P.
They are there, just the same. They say if I will go along with them, they will show me a nice home. That would be nice, for I haven't had a home for a long time. Am I going to have that fire anymore? I won't go to that woman with the red hair anymore, either, and I thank God for that. Doctor, now think yourself free and go with these friends.
S.P.
All right, I will go. Goodbye. When Mrs. Burton first came to us, she could not follow any occupation, but after the obsessing spirits were removed, she was able to take a clerical position in a large commercial house. Chapter 4. Earth's Fear Conditions and the Magnetic Aura. Unenlightened spirits often wander aimlessly for many years in the earth sphere. Their lack of knowledge of a higher spirit world, which is attained only through understanding, keeping them in a dreary condition of confusion, monotony and suffering, many remain in the scenes of their earth lives, continuing their former activities, while others fall into a state of heavy sleep from which they are with difficulty aroused. A spirit who was still following his old occupation without any knowledge of his transition controlled Mrs. Wickland at one of our circles in Chicago. "Why are you sitting in the dark?" he asked. "We were at that time experimenting with dark circles." "I am Hesselroth, from the drugstore," he said. Mr. Hesselroth, the Swedish proprietor of a Chicago drugstore, had died the year before in a hospital, but we knew nothing of this man. His death, or his circumstances. However, on this evening one of his friends, Mr. Eckham, was in our circle. The spirit was not aware of his death, claiming that he was still attending to his drugstore. His friend in the circle said he had been informed that the drugstore had been sold to the clerk, and so stated to the spirit, but this the latter emphatically denied, saying, "Abrahamson only manages it for me." The spirit told of a robbery which had occurred in his house recently, and described the three burglars. He said he had been frightened when they entered, but gaining courage, had gone for his revolver only to find that he was not able to pick it up. He had then struck at one of the burglars, but his hand had gone right through the fellow, and he could not understand why he could do nothing at all. After his condition was explained to him, he saw many spirit friends appear, who welcomed him to his new home in the spirit world. Later investigation verified the statement made by the spirit that the drugstore had not been sold and also the fact that the house had been burglarized. It could not be held that the subconscious mind of the psychic played any part in this case, nor could the theory of auto-suggestion be maintained, for Mr. Hesselroth was entirely unknown to everyone in the room with the exception of his friend, Mr. Eckham, and this friend held the opposite idea regarding the sale of the store. Many years later this spirit returned to us in California, speaking again through Mrs. Wickland. Experience, September 29, 1920. Spirit, Mr. Hesselroth, spirit, I have come in to say just a few words, for I have been helped out of darkness, and have become a helper in the band of mercy. Doctor, who are you, friend?
SP.
I am one of the helpers here. I come around sometimes, and I came tonight to say a few words to you. I was once in a very dark condition, but now am I one of your band. I thought you might like to know. If it had not been for you, I would probably still be in the dark. Many years have passed. I have quite an understanding of life now, through you, and through this little circle of the band of mercy. It was not here, it was in Chicago that I was helped. I am very much pleased to be here with you tonight. I should like to give you my name, but I seem to have forgotten it, because I have not heard it for so long. It will come to me, and then I will give it. Do you remember an old gentleman you used to know, Mr. Eckham? He was not so very old either. He was a very dear friend of mine, and through him I came to see you. Doctor, at some meeting in Chicago?
S.P.
Yes. I had a drugstore in Chicago. My name is Hesselroth. I could not think of my name for a moment. I am one of your helpers here. Mr. Eckham is with me, and he also does all he can. He is very happy to help with your work here. He was heart and soul with it during his earth life. I also feel that I have to do all I can to help, because if you had not helped me, I should have been in the drugstore yet, selling medicine. For a whole year after I passed out, I attended to the business as I did when on earth, only I did not feel that I was sick anymore. I took sick in the store, and was sent to the hospital, and I passed out in the hospital. They took my body to the undertakers, not to my home. You know, it says in the Bible, where your treasure is there will your heart be also. When I woke up from the sleep of death, I thought of my store, and there I found myself. I saw that everything was going on all right, but it seemed so strange that I could not talk to any of my customers. I thought that during my sickness I had lost my faculty of speech, so I did not think much about it. I attended to business, and I impressed my clerk to do things I wanted done. I was running the store and the clerk was managing it for me. I did not realize that I was dead until I came to this gentleman, Dr. W., in his little circle. When burglars got into my home, I thought of the revolver that I always kept in a drawer. I went there, and tried to get it, but my hand went me. I commenced to see things. I saw my spirit father and mother. Then I thought I must be a little out of my head. So I thought I had better go up to see my friend, Eckham. I always thought he was just a little off, because he believed in spiritualism. I wanted to see Eckham to ask him if ghosts could come back, and there I was a ghost myself. Then I came to this circle and I found I could talk, and after a while the door opened, opened to that beautiful land beyond. I wish you could see the reception I had. My relatives and friends all opened their arms to me, and said, "Welcome to our home in spirit. Welcome to that everlasting life. Welcome to an understanding of God." Such a reception cannot be described until you see it for yourselves and are with us. That is happiness, it is heaven. I will not take any more of your time, but I am glad that I could come and talk tonight. It was about 15 years ago that I first came here. Eckham says he feels proud of this work, and he sends love to all of you here. Now, good night. Dash. Pathos and tragedy are often the grim accompaniment of the sufferings of earthbound spirits. The spirit of the following narrative was taken from a patient who was subject to doleful spells of crying and afflicted with intense head pains, all of which ceased after the spirit was removed. Experience, January 15, 1918. Spirit, mini day. Patient, Mrs. L. W. Psychic, Mrs. Wickland. Spirit, crying piteously, "Oh, my head hurts so badly. I don't like those needles. Electrical treatments given patient, they hurt me so. My head hurts. I am lost, I don't know where I am at. There were thousands and thousands of needles, I had to cry. Doctor, where do you live?" SP. "I don't know, doctor, where did your parents live?" SP. "I don't know. Doctor, aren't you a little child?" SP. "I am only little, I am mini day." "Doctor, where did you live? How old are you?" SP. "I don't know. Ask Ma." "Doctor, don't you know what city you lived in?" SP. "In St. Louis." "Oh. My father is coming. He hit me on the head, and there's Willie." "Doctor, who is Willie?" SP. "He's my brother. Here's my father, and I'm afraid. He says to come with him." "Oh, Ma, my head hurts. My Ma says for me to go with her cause she has a new home for me and Willie." "Doctor, you will go to her home in the spirit world." SP. "What is the spirit world? What does that mean?" "Doctor, that is the invisible world around the earth." "Do you know that you are dead?" SP. "What do you mean?" "Doctor, I mean that you have lost your physical body. What have you been doing recently?" SP. "I have been running all over trying to find somebody. Mama died a long time ago when I was a little girl. After Ma died, Papa was so mean to me and Willie, and he hit me so many times. I feel so bad, and my head hurts. I have been to so many places and my Ma is dead, and I don't know where to go." "Doctor, you were in such mental distress that you did not realize your condition. You have lost your physical body and your friends would call you dead." SP. "Did I die? Sometimes I feel as if I were in a box. We were a big crowd, spirits obsessing the patient, and they pushed and pushed, and there was one big man and he was so mean to us. He chased us one way, then another, but one day we lost him." This tormenting spirit had been attracted from the patient 2 days before. "I felt so glad he was lost and I thought I could be quiet, but I got all those needles." "Doctor, you were influencing a lady and making her cry." SP. "What do you mean?" "Doctor, you are a spirit, and were in the aura of that lady. When she had an electrical treatment you felt it and left her. You are using my wife's body now. Look at your hands. Do they belong to you?" SP. "Oh, look. I have a ring. But that is not mine, and I have not stolen it." Excitedly, "Take it away. I didn't steal that ring." "Doctor, this is not your body, and that is not your ring. It is very likely that you died when your head was hurt. The spirit lives after the body dies." SP. "But I have been alive." "Doctor, you were living, but without a physical body, and came in touch with a sensitive, a lady, who is now in the other house. She acts just as you do, and complains of her head hurting in the same place yours hurts you. She has been acting like an insane person, but it is all due to spirit influence." SP. "The man was so mean that we had with us, but now he is lost, and we are so glad. We were all scared of him, but we could not run away from him. He was awful mean, he bit and scratched and would fight. Doctor, he was very obstinate. He was controlling this body a short time ago, just as you are now. We have circles like this where spirits may come for help.
SP. Spirits?
I don't know anything about them. My head hurts me. Doctor, the body you are using belongs to my wife, and she has no pain in her head.
SP.
Those needles hurt me so much. Doctor, when the lady had a treatment today, you evidently were able to get away and are now allowed to control this body so that we can help you. A short time ago you said that your father and mother were here. Are they here now?
SP.
Don't you see Mama? She's standing right there. Doctor, wouldn't you like to go with your mother?
SP.
But she's dead. Doctor, you are dead also. There is no death really. We, see chap. 5, page 96. Spirit, John Sullivan, patient, Mrs. L. W. Only lose our physical bodies. Spirit is invisible.
SP.
Oh, take me away. Take me away. My father is coming, and I'm afraid. He'll strike me again. Take me away. Doctor, your father probably comes for forgiveness. You understand, he cannot progress in the spirit world until you forgive him. Ask him what he has to say to you.
SP.
He doesn't say anything. He's crying. He comes up to Mama now. Doctor, doesn't he look sorry?
SP.
He says he is so sorry for what he did. The child's spirit was removed and the distressed father took control of the psychic. Crying in anguish, he fell on his knees, with his arms outstretched. Spirit, William Day, spirit, forgive me. Forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't mean to kill you, Minnie. I was very nervous and the children made such a noise. I was so sad because my wife had died. Give me a chance. Just give me one more chance. One, two, have suffered. If I had only lived. I have been in the dark so long and cannot be helped, and I cannot come near my child, she is so afraid of me. I have tried to reach her to ask for forgiveness, but she is so seared when I come near her that I cannot reach her. Don't any of you ever strike a child, else you will suffer for years and years. I did not mean to hurt her, I loved her, but I killed her. If there is a God, lift this trouble and sorrow away from me. Give me some light and comfort, in my suffering. I cannot restate it, have no peace. I can only see my work that I did in anger. Try to control yourself if you get angry, else you will suffer as I have. God help me. Oh, God. Give me one more chance, just one. Doctor, do you realize that you are dead?
SP.
No, I ran away when I killed my child. Somebody got after me and ran very hard, then something hit me in the neck, and I fell down. Evidently killed, I got right up and ran, and I have been running so long it seems years. Many times I have seen my wife, accusing me for killing my child. I did kill her. God help me. I have tried to find just a little comfort and light. Doctor, you cannot find light until you have understanding.
SP.
God, give me light and understanding. All I see is that poor child's head, split open where I struck her. I tried to ask Minnie for forgiveness, but she shrank from me and I could not get near her, and there was my wife, always accusing me for what I had done. Doctor, she will not accuse you anymore.
SP.
Will she forgive me?
Doctor, yes.
What is your name?
SP.
William Day. Doctor, can you recall what year it is?
SP.
My brain is in such a turmoil. I have been running and running for so long, trying to get away from that crowd of people that were after me. Everybody I saw, I ran from, knowing that they too would accuse me for killing Minnie. At nights my wife has stood by me accusing me, and then there was the child, with her head all split open, and the blood pouring out. I have had hell. It could not be worse. Is there no help for me? I prayed and prayed, but it did no good. Doctor, do you know that you are in California?
SP.
California? When did I get here? Did I run all the way from St. Louis to California?
Doctor, do you understand that you are a spirit controlling the body of a mortal?
SP.
Do you mean that I am dead? Doctor, you have lost your physical body.
SP.
Won't I have to stay in the grave until the dead rise? Doctor, you are here now, how did you get out of the grave?
SP.
I have had no rest for I don't know how long. Doctor, there is no such thing as death. When you pass out of your physical body you lose your 5 physical sense organs, and unless you have understanding of the spirit life, you are in the dark, and can only see when coming in touch with some mortal.
SP.
The people are hounding me until I am tired out. Doctor, now you must try to become reconciled with your wife and child.
SP.
Do you think they will ever forgive me? Please, forgive me, wife. I was not worthy of you. You were an angel and I was such a brute. Will you please forgive me? If you will only give me just one chance, I will try so hard. I have suffered so much. Carrie, Carrie. Is it really true that you will forgive me? Is it true? You were such a patient woman and tried so hard to help me, but I was no good. I loved my children, but I had such a bad temper. I really killed my wife by letting her sue just to keep the family together. I made good money, but there were always men around, telling me to come with them, and I did not know anything until my wages were all gone, and I went home feeling like a devil. Doctor, perhaps the trouble was not all yours, for you might have been obsessed. When you leave here with your wife, you will find a wonderful spirit world.
SP.
I am not worthy to go with my wife, but I will try to do good. I don't want you to go away from me anymore, Carrie. Crying, Minnie, can you forgive your papa? My dear child, I killed you, but I did not mean to. Forgive your papa. Will I wake up after a while and find myself in darkness again? Am I asleep or dreaming? Minnie, don't go away from papa. Please, forgive me. Doctor, you are neither asleep nor dreaming, but are beginning to realize your condition.
SP.
Did they kill me when they hit me in my neck and head? They shot me. Doctor, we can't say certainly, but they probably did.
SP.
If I can just have one more chance, I will do my level best to keep my family together. Doctor, there is something else you can do, also. After you acquire understanding, it will be your duty to help poor, unfortunate spirits who are obsessing mortals, making devils of some of them. When you had your own body, you may have been obsessed by some spirits.
SP.
I did not care for drink, I hated the very sight of it. But when once I got just a smell of it, something took hold of me and made me feel like a devil and I could not resist it. I could not do anything with myself. God help me and give me just a little comfort. Doctor, when you leave here you will be reunited with your family.
SP.
Are you sure about that? Doctor, positive, but you must do as the advanced spirits instruct you.
SP.
If there is anything I can do to help you, I will do it, because you have reunited me with my family. I came home drunk and you don't know how I felt when I realized that my wife was dying. I was so drunk that I did not fully realize things until the next morning when I woke up, and there was my wife dead. I could not understand it. What was I to do? What could I do with the children? My wife dead. My wife and Minnie say they will both forgive me. And now I have my wife and 2 children, and I am going to start all over again. God bless you all for what you have done for me and my family. The confusion and mental suffering existing on the earth plane is vividly portrayed by the spirits who are brought to our circle for help. Experience, March 9, 1921. Spirit, Mr. Mallory. Psychic, Mrs. Wickland. The controlling spirit came in while we were singing that beautiful sure and laughed uproariously. Doctor, have you found the beautiful sure? Tell us what you know about it.
Spirit, it's all humbug.
Doctor, is that so?
SP.
Yes. Laughing hilariously, it's silly to believe in such a thing. Doctor, you are on the other side of life. Tell us something about it. Have you found nothing? If you do not believe in a hereafter, tell us why. Explain yourself. If you are a skeptic, tell us your belief.
SP. Belief? Gosh. Laughing. Doctor, tell us what you are laughing about.
SP.
You might just as well laugh as cry, one is just the same as the other. You were singing that beautiful shore, and while you are singing that, you know you are lying. Doctor, do you imply that life does not mean anything at all?
SP.
It most certainly does not. There is nothing in it. It is just a lie. The whole thing is nothing but a pack of lies, both life and religion, the whole humbug, life, religion and everything connected with it. Doctor, have you tried to understand your own life, the mystery of it?
SP.
My own life? Humbug, nothing but humbug, laughing. Doctor, how do you know it is humbug? You are laughing at your own ignorance.
SP.
I might just as well laugh as cry, one is no worse or better than the other. It is all lies, damned lies. I had my troubles. Doctor, where? Over there, or here?
SP.
Everywhere. Laughing. Doctor, are you happy?
SP.
Happy? Such nonsense. There is no such thing, there never was, and there never will be. Doctor, do you really know anything about it? Did you seek for truth when you had your own body?
SP.
I prayed to God and all that nonsense. Gosh. Doctor, and you found it all a humbug. What has that to do with the actual facts of life?
SP.
Once I tried to be someone. Then the thought came to me that everything was humbug, humbug, nothing but humbug. As a man, you know what I mean. You are talking to a man and you know all about it. Doctor, you are invisible to us. Have you ever seen intelligence?
SP.
What kind of talk is that? I don't believe in nonsense anymore. You can have faith, and believe that you can walk on water, but you fall through, just the same. I said, I have faith that I can walk on water, but I fell through. Doctor, because you left reason out.
SP.
Reason? You can't walk on water with reason. Doctor, it was not intended that we should walk on water. Water is for drinking and bathing.
SP.
Why are you holding my hands? Doctor, I am holding my wife's hands.
SP.
You don't know what you are talking about. Do you believe that? Doctor, I know that I am holding my wife's hands.
SP.
I used to have faith like that. Doctor, how did you happen to lose faith?
SP.
It is all humbug. Doctor, life is the beginning of knowledge.
SP.
I haven't had any knowledge yet. Doctor, you will have before you leave here.
SP.
I had faith, and I believed, and then what? Doctor, what next?
SP.
Yes, what next? I worked like a slave for a minister of God. I do not work for him now, that was some time ago. I went away from there. He cursed me, and I had my cares and troubles. I swore to God that there is no such thing as God if he could be so mean as to call such a man his minister. And I lost faith. Doctor, what has that to do with the facts of life and the hereafter?
SP.
When you die you are dead. Doctor, then why didn't you stay dead when you died?
SP.
Stay dead? I haven't died yet. Doctor, you died as far as your body is concerned.
SP.
I have been running away from those hypocrites. In the first place, they took all the money I made. If there is a God, then, for God's sake, why does he always want money? They always say you must have faith and pay your money to the church, and you should work for God. My work was hard, worked from 6 o'clock every morning until late every night, all for God. I worked for God, and often I did not get enough so that I could get along. Doctor, tell us where you came from.
SP.
All I want is my freedom. Doctor, won't you tell us where you came from?
SP.
Look at all those devils down there. Invisibles, hear how they curse and laugh. They say, I know you. I know you. Look at that one sitting over there. Look at them all. Hear them laugh. They say I should tell you that they want you to pray for them, for they are in darkness. Doctor, we want to help them to a better understanding.
SP.
Oh, listen to them cursing. Doctor, you must show them charity. You do not seem to know what charity is.
SP.
God. Look at that man.